you know, the word tells us that many will fall from the faith because of taking heed to deceiving spirits in 1 Timothy 4:1. And that's listening to them. And one of the things that the devil always wants to do is bring you to your past. And tonight's teaching is called Don't Look Back. And we're going to talk about why, what, and so forth. But I want to first start off in Matthew 16. In verse 13, it starts off here when it says, when Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And I know we've heard this over and over, but this is so powerful, and we kind of lose sight of this sometimes. And they said to him, some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. And he said to them, but who do you say that I am? And that's a powerful thing what he said right there. Because he wasn't asking, he said, who do you? In other words, everyone must have the revelation of who he truly is. You can't go by somebody else's revelation. Because until you get your own revelation of truly who he is when the relationship starts. And Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. So Simon had the revelation that you are the Christ. Now Christ means anointed one in his anointing. He realized that he was more than just this man called Jesus. He was the Christ, the Messiah, the God sent from God. And Jesus answered and said to him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. So he heard from God, didn't he? He got the revelation from God that this was God. I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. And in this essence, he's saying, and on this rock, in other words, and on this revelation that I am the Christ, the anointed one, and his anointing, I'm going to build my church on this revelation. Does everybody understand it? Because it's the Spirit that builds the church. And the gates of hell, or Hades, shall not prevail against it. Because nothing can come against the Spirit of God. Only man rejection of the Spirit of God. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. And what was he doing? He was bringing something from the spirit realm to the natural realm. And preparation. And letting him know, I'm going to give you keys. Because after I raise from the dead, I'm taking the keys away. And you're going to be able to attack from the natural realm into the heavenlies. Does everybody get it? In verse 20, then he commanded his disciples not to tell no one that he was Jesus the Christ. From that time, Jesus began to show to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes, be killed and raised the third day. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, far be it from you, Lord. This shall not happen to you. Now this is powerful right here. But Jesus turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. Now Peter, who just had the revelation that he was the Christ and heard from God, now is listening to Satan. Does everybody get it? That's how quick it took. Bam. Bam. All in the same chapter. And then probably in about 10, 15 minutes, if not sooner, he realized that he was the Christ, the God. He heard from God that he was God. And the next thing you know, he listens to the voice of the stranger. Does everybody get it? And Jesus says, get behind me, Satan. You are an offense to me, for you are not mindful of the things of God. Whoa. But the things of what? Men. And you must understand something. That when you become mindful of the things of men, you're serving Satan. Amen? But when you become mindful of the things of God, you're serving God. Jesus gave us the example with Peter. Amen? Now listen to this. This is so powerful. Then he explains to them what is up. In verse 24, then Jesus says to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. So he said, listen, the way that you're going to avoid this, number one, is to deny yourself. If you don't deny yourself, in other words, listen, when you deny yourself, you exalt Jesus. When you deny Jesus, you exalt yourself. Does everybody get it? If you deny Jesus, you exalt yourself, and you're exalting Satan, aren't you? But if you deny yourself, you're exalting Jesus. So there is that balance there. So this is a formula that he gives us for you and me to walk into victory. This is a formula. Deny, pick up, and what? Follow. Come on, everybody say that. Deny, pick up, and follow. Again, deny, pick up, and follow. If you're not denying, you can't pick up. Do you understand that? If you can't deny yourself, there's no way you can pick up. You can't pick the cross up. And if you can't pick the cross up, you can't follow. So there are many people who are trying to pick up the cross without denying. And they become a stumbling block and shame in the name of the Lord, don't they? They go back to their old ways. So that is the, I'm telling you, when the Spirit showed us this Sunday, it was just so powerful. And the thing that he said, this is a powder of your life in every decision and everything that you do as a believer, you must deny yourself. Pick up the cross and follow. Deny, pick up, and follow. Now verse 25, he says, for whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. That's powerful. So you and I must deny, pick up, and follow every day. The Word tells us every day. Every decision, everything that you're choosing to do, there must be a denial of self, there must be a picking up of the cross, and there must be a following. That's why some people never get baptized in the Holy Spirit, because they can never deny themselves. That's why some people never get healed or move into gifts, because they're still leaning on their own strength. They cannot deny themselves. And then when you and I get baptized in the Spirit, you still must deny yourself, because that's where the rest comes, or you're struggling. If you can't deny yourself, that means you're working it. I'd rather have God work through me than me try to work for God. Does everybody get it? Because when you try to work for God, it doesn't work. That's where you get involved in religion. I'm working for God instead of letting God work through you. The Bible tells us that we're to labor unto the Lord, even at your work, your workplaces, in your marriages, in your fellowship, in your families, in fellowship in your congregations. You want God to work through you. You don't need to work for Him. He'll work through you. Because then that's when we fall. We stumble. We backslide. We get tormented. We get caught in guilt and condemnation. Why? Because we find that we can never find a way to satisfy God. Because that's a lie, isn't it? So what we begin to do is we begin to try and do things to satisfy God. But He's already satisfied by us just surrendering to Him. See, you can't earn any more of God's love. It's already been done. So, so many people try and go out there and gain God's love when it's already a gift. He showed us how much He loved us when He came into the world and died on the cross. And what did He do? He denied, He picked up the cross, and He followed. He denied Himself in the garden. He carried the cross, and He followed the will of God that you and I could be rescued. Deny, pick up, and follow. And go to Revelation 17 because there is a parallel to this. Glory to God. So Jesus let us know that darkness, Satan, the powers of darkness, are going to do their best to prevent you from denying yourself. Does everybody get that? There's times when you're going to have to deny what you know and lean on who you know. Hallelujah. In Revelation 17:14, these will make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb will overcome them. For He is Lord of lords and King of kings. And those who are with Him are called, chosen, and faithful. Say that with me. Called, chosen, and faithful. Now, called is a representation of invited. When somebody's called, they're invited. When they're chosen, they become a participant. When they're faithful, they continue in participating. Does everybody get that? Let me say that over. When you're called, you're invited. When you're chosen, it's because you're a participant. You become faithful by continuing to participate. Amen? Now, let me back up a little bit. Deny, pick up, and follow. Deny is a representation of called. Deny is a representation of called. To pick up the cross is a representation of chosen. And to be faithful is one who follows. Deny is a representation of called. These are the parallels. To pick up, it's a representation of chosen, which means pick up the cross. And one who follows is known as faithful, isn't he? Deny, pick up, and follow, called, chosen, and faithful. Now, if you really look at this again, you'll find out Jesus says, I am the way, truth, and life. The way is to deny yourself. The truth is to pick up the cross. And to be faithful is life. Does everybody get it? So we see even in this, Jesus gave the formula to deny, pick up, and follow. He says, I am the way, truth, and life. He gave the formula, and then He told them He had to die, didn't He? In other words, he gave the example. I am the way, truth, and life. You're going to see it happen. Amen. I'm going to give you the example of what denying self is and what picking up the cross is and what life is. So he had to deny, pick up, and follow. Amen? Representation of way, truth, and life. And Revelation 3:18. This is Jesus speaking, and he says, I what? I counsel you to buy for me gold refined in the fire, that you may be rich, and white garments, that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore be zealous and repent. Whoa, what did he say? I give you counsel. What did he say? To buy. In other words, when you buy something, that means there's a price. And there is a price for me and you. The price is to deny, pick up, and follow. That is the price. To be a successful, overcoming, victorious believer in Christ Jesus. So God can work through you. Where you don't have to work for him. He works through you. Does everybody get it? Hallelujah. Okay. Let's go to Matthew 10. In Matthew 10, verse 32. Therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. Now wait a minute. Now think about that. Confession before men is just not speaking about Jesus. It's being the example of who he is. So many people are running around trying to tell people about Jesus, but they can't even be the example of who he is. Does everybody understand that? Why? The only way you can be the example of who he is to deny, pick up, and follow the same thing he did from the Garden of Gethsemane all the way to his resurrection. Hallelujah. Therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. Why? Because if you don't deny yourself, you're exalting Satan. And verse 33, but whoever denies me before him, him I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven. Wow. And verse 34, read this with me, please. Do not think that I came to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a what?
Sword.
That means that you've got to do something. You are a participant in its continuing victory, aren't you? Jesus said, I didn't come to bring peace. I came to bring you a sword. Well, what are you going to do with a sword? Keep it on the shelf? No, that means that there's a price to pay. There's a fight. There's a battle. And remember, if you're not in the battle, you become a what?
Casualty.
Hallelujah. I mean, you know, the old sly devil that says, oh, God knows my heart. I don't have to do anything. As a constant casualty. Constant casualty. Glory to God. So one of the things the devil wants to do is for you to not deny yourself. He doesn't want you to deny yourself. If you go according to their formula, deny, pick up, and follow, he can't get you because you're a moving target. Does everybody get it? You're a moving target. The devil loves stagnant people. They glow. Neon sign. Big bullseye over their head. Hi, here I am. I've been snagged and snared by the voice of the stranger, and I'm all yours, Satan. Do with me as you feel it. Hallelujah. But praise be to God. We have a wonderful Jesus who's paid the price for me and you, and he's transferred the price for me and you to carry on, to deny, to pick up, and follow. Does everybody get it? Hallelujah. Turn to Hebrews 13. in verse 8. Is everybody there? Let's read it together. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Wow. Come on, let's repeat that one more time. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Let's go on. Do not be carried away about with various and strange doctrines. For it is good that the heart be established by grace, not with foods, which have not profited those who have been occupied with them. We have an altar from which those who serve the tabernacle have no right to eat. For the body of those animals whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned outside the camp. Therefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered outside the gate. Therefore let us go forth to him outside the camp, bearing his reproach. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek the one to come. Therefore by him let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But do not forget to do good, to share, for with such sacrifice, God is well pleased. So we understand that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. In other words, he is not bound by space and time. Now understand this. If you and I are to walk according to his way and his formula, deny, pick up, and follow, you're not bound by space and time either. Say what? Because in the Spirit, there's no distance, nor space, nor time. Does everybody get that? Let me share something with you. You know that we can't change yesterday, can we? Now, the devil always wants to have us to look back, doesn't he? But you and I can't change yesterday, can we? But in the Spirit, let me share something with you. In today's reaping of, all right? Today's reaping right now, what we've sowed in the past, because the Bible says you must reap what you sowed, right? But by God's formula of denying, pick up, and follow, in today's reaping, you will find peace from yesterday's sowing. Does everybody understand that? In today's reaping, you will find peace from yesterday's sowing. If why? If you'll deny, pick up, and follow. Because now you walk according to the way of the Lord, and you're not bound by space and time. Is everybody with me? Let's go to Luke 9. Hallelujah. Urabaka sarabakasia. We bless you, Jesus. We bless you, Jesus. So you can find peace in today's reaping of what was caused by yesterday's sowing. Hello? In Luke 9, 57. Glory, hallelujah. Let's read this together. In verse 57. Now it happened as they journeyed on the road that someone said to him, Lord, I will follow you wherever you go. Now you know what? How many times have we said that in our past life? And I'll do whatever it takes, Lord. Get me out of this mess. I'll follow you. Thank you, Lord, for getting me out of this mess. Woo-hoo. I think I'll do it on myself again. Deny myself? What do you mean? Didn't you just make a commitment that you'd do whatever it takes? Yeah, but... Oh, there we go with that but again. In verse 58, and Jesus said to him, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Now understand something. He was bringing something to understanding to him. Now listen. He was showing them, when this person came to some, Lord, I'll follow you wherever. I'm willing to follow. And Jesus says, wait a minute, man. You know, birds have places. Foxes have places. But I don't have anywhere. Because this is not my home. I'm not looking to lay my head anywhere. Why? Because I'm constantly denying, picking up, and follow. Does everybody understand that? I'm not looking to rest here forever. I'm not looking for this as my permanent home. Because my mind is not on the things of men, but on the things of God, which he rebuked Peter for. When he said, Satan, get behind me. Let's go a little further. Woohoo! In verse 59, let's read it. Then he said to another, follow me. But he said, Lord, let me first go and bury my father. Whoa. And Jesus said to him, let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and preach the kingdom of God. That was a hard thing for that man to get. He was caught up in the soulish realm. What do you mean? That's my father who raised me, who fed me, who clothed me, who taught me, who brought me to the synagogue, who was there for my bar mitzvah. Who sent me off, who made arrangements for me to get married to this other family, and who gave me all of this wealth. What are you talking about? Follow you? That's my father. I should show him the respect and bury him. Jesus said, let the dead bury the dead, man. That's not your father. I'm your father. Amen. That's not your daddy. I'm your daddy. Are you going to follow your real daddy or the one that I gave you temporary? Let's go a little bit further. In verse 61. And another also said, Lord, I will follow you, but let me first go and bid them farewell who are at my house. But Jesus said to them, no one having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. No one putting their hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Yeah, but I got a lot of things to clear up in my life. Yeah, but I got family. I got a girlfriend. I got this. I got that. Uh-uh. That means that you still want to build the house. Not willing to deny self. Not willing to pick up or follow. Let me tell you, there's a great reward in denying, picking up, and following. Daddy builds the house. They can't be blown over. That the rains can't wash away. That the gates of hell cannot prevail. It's only when we start going in our own strength, when we start going back to the past and trying to fix things, that our house and our foundation begins to crack and crumble. Don't look back. Look back to what? Family, friends, worldly ways, old pains, guilts, possessions, fears and lies, soul ties, old sins, and ungodly pleasures. Why? Let me share something with you. When you begin to look back, now don't get me wrong, sometimes God is dealing us to clear up something of our past, to heal something in the present. But the devil will torment you and try and bring you to the past so you miss what God is doing in the present. Does everybody understand that? And when he does bring you into that place of the past and you get caught up with that, it produces ungodly fruits. Is everybody with me? Let's go a little further. 1 John in verse 15. Somebody there? 1 John chapter 2 and verse 15. Let's read it together. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Now, when the devil begins to bring you to your past, in other words, in remembrance, what does he start doing? He starts throwing darts at you. Do you remember this? Do you remember your friends that you used to have a good time with? When everybody was sitting around drinking and doing this and doing that. He doesn't remind you of the torment that came after that. Of not being able to feed your family. Of being put in jail. And all the other things that the outcomes of ungodly fruits were manifest. He doesn't remind you those things. So we see here it's known as love of the world, isn't it? Now the devil can bring you to the past and try and quicken you to the love of the world at any time. Anytime. What we've done is just shut the door to God and His love. That's why it says, and the love of the Father is not in you. It's, in other words, you're not acknowledging the love of the Father. Does everybody understand that? Because once, you know, God's love is there, isn't it? It never stops. But what we've done is shut the door to His love and gone to love the world. Because we've taken heed of the voice of the stranger who's brought us to our past. Let's go a little further. In verse 16, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but of the world. And the world is passing away in the lust of it. But he who does the will of God, what? Abides forever. Whoa. So that means deny, pick up, and follow. Does everybody get it? But he who does the will of God, you can't do the will of God without denying yourself, picking up the cross and following. You just can't. You can't expect to do the will of God by trying to pick up the cross and follow without denying yourself. You're doing your will. Amen? Now, listen to this. This is important. I'm going to share with you that in the Spirit, we're not bound by space and time, are we? So the devil wants to bind us to space and time, doesn't he? That's why he wants to remind us of the past. Now, the devil attacks our flesh and our soul to contaminate our spirit. Does everybody get this? He wants to attack you in the flesh, in the soul, so he can contaminate your spirit. He's after your spirit. He attacks you in the flesh in the present. He attacks your flesh in the present. He attacks your soul in the past. Why? Because your soul is your mind, your will, and your emotions, isn't it? Come on, you know that all of a sudden a song comes on, right? And it reminds you of your past. Or he reminds you of someone, and next thing you know, you're drifting and you're remembering certain things. Why? Because he's hitting your past. He's hitting your soul, your mind, and your emotions. You notice how things that he hits all of a sudden affect your emotions, don't they? I mean, hurts and unforgivenesses and certain things in the past. That's why it's so good to bring all things up to the light, especially in relationships, so that if something comes from the past, it's already settled. Devil has not access to it. Does everybody get it? It's so important about that. So many couples get married and their pasts are hidden from one another. And then things start coming up. And the next thing you know, there's trouble. You're not to hide your past. You're to bring everything to the light so darkness has no access to it. Amen? So the devil wants to bring you to your past. Now, even though you've brought it to light, he's still going to try and bring you to the past and try and torment you. Then you bring him to the future. Hey, devil. That's under the blood, but let me tell you something. You know where you're going to be? Cooking. You're a roast turkey, fool. So the devil will attack your flesh in the present. He'll attack your soul in the past. Now, what he's trying to do is manifest future worries. Okay? That's why he wants to bring you to your past. He wants to manifest future worries because you're really not worried right now. You're worried about tomorrow. Oh, man, how am I going to do this? When? Well, you know. And when am I going to do this and this and that? So if if you begin to sense the fruit of worry, you know that he's nailed you in the past and brought you back. And you're not to look back. Because if he can bring you to the past, he begins to want to manifest worries for the future. Well, how am I going to do this? Well, how am I going to do that? Well, what about this? And what about that? But if you and I will deny ourselves, pick up our cross and follow, we'll maintain in present, in His presence, Christ. And you won't worry. See, the devil is trying to bring you out of God's presence. He does that through your mind. Oh, hallelujah. So the devil attacks you in your flesh, in the present. He attacks you in the soul, in the past, so he can produce future worries. Hallelujah. So if you begin to sense future worries, you've bit the bait. Amen? Okay. Everybody's real quiet here tonight. Is everybody all right? Glory to God. Let's go to Romans 8. Simple teaching. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You know, the Bible says my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, right? Yes. We must have the discernment. And he says you're to judge all things by fruits, aren't you? And there's a lot of fruits out there that we must know. The more fruits you know, the more you'll stay in line. The more you'll know your enemy. You'll know that when he's attacking. And Romans 8. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Let's go to verse 5. Is everybody there? Can we read this together? For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. So if the devil's attacking you in the flesh, right, that means he's attacking you in the present. And where's your mind going? On the things of the flesh or the things of the present, worldly things. Does everybody get it? But if you're in the Spirit, you're denying yourself, you're picking up the cross and you're following, and he can't get to you. Or when the dart comes, you'll take dominion over it. Verse 6, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. And now we want peace, don't we? Because that's what he's trying to steal, is your peace and your joy, isn't he? That's his job. Why? Because he'll bring you to the past, or he'll attack you in the present. And verse 7, because the carnal mind is enmity against God. In other words, it's hatred against God. Your carnal mind does not want to do the things of God. For it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can it be. That's powerful. So it can't. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Do you understand that the devil is trying to get you to that place and not pleasing God? So the devil brings us to the past and puts us in the flesh also, can he? Because where does our mind go? Towards the world. Towards the world. So he can attack us in the flesh, in the present, and the next thing you know, sometimes your flesh is manifesting, isn't it? Because you've taken heed of what he's saying. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 2. Yeah. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 12. No, let's not go to verse 12. Let's go to verse 9. Glory to God. But as it is written, eye has not seen nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 9. And verse 10. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of a man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. So how are you going to have fellowship with the Spirit of God if you don't deny yourself, pick up the cross, and follow? You're not. A lot of religious people out there trying to quote the Scriptures and walk the Word, but they can't even deny themselves. They ain't in the Spirit. Okay, verse 12. Now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. Because it's our responsibility to get in the Spirit to know the things, isn't it? These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Now, you got to understand something. How does God... Do you know how a computer works? You know what it does? It doesn't know anything. A computer is dumb. What it does is compare. That's all it can do. It compares. It says, if this doesn't do this, then this does. There's gates. There's all kinds of gates in the computer. That's why there's binary numbers. When these binary numbers come in, these gates open and close by these numbers. And that's all a computer does is compare. It says, okay, it sees these numbers. Okay, then this opens. Well, then this doesn't match, so this opens. And if this, then this closes. That's all it can do is compare. It doesn't know anything. Does everybody get it? But it compares. And in the Spirit, God is trying to use things by the Spirit for me and you to compare. Compare spiritual things with spiritual. Comparing spiritual things with spiritual. What are you trying to do? Well, you know what the Holy Spirit does? Let me share this with you. He's going to take things that have been imparted in you besides the Word. Because the Bible says that the Holy Spirit brings the Word to remembrance, doesn't He? He's going to even take certain things. You're going to wonder sometimes why He reminded you of something of the past, but it wasn't in condemnation or guilt, but a warning. Does everybody understand that? Sometimes He'll bring something from your past because you're not listening, and all of a sudden you'll see it in your spirit, and it's a warning. And you'll go, whoa. I remember one day somebody had talked a while about something of lying to somebody the guy was out using, and said he was always late for something, and he said he had busted up his oil pan, and the guy actually went down and cleaned up his oil pan and got a crayon and marked on it like he got the oil pan from the junkyard. So, you know, I remember somebody sharing that testimony. I said, well, now, I get a guy that shows up late one night. This is powerful. This guy shows up late, way late, and I know in my spirit that he's been out using. And he tells me that his car broke down, he hit something with his oil pan, and he had to go change the oil pan and went to the junkyard. And the Holy Spirit showed me the whole thing. In other words, He brought to my remembrance that same testimony. And He said, look it. And it was all cleaned up, and there was a marker on there too. And I knew he was lying. God removed him the next day. I didn't have to. Do you understand? He's going to also warn you of certain things. Did you ever hear of deja vu? It's a dream that God has given you, that He was warning you or preparing you for something. It's not mystical. It's just a dream you didn't remember, but the Holy Spirit brought it up to remembrance to warn you and tell you something to come. Does everybody get it? So what was He doing? Comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Because sometimes we just don't have the understanding, so we got to compare things, don't we? And that's how you get understanding. All right? Hallelujah. Things are compared by remembrance. Glory to God. Now, God brings things to our remembrance, doesn't He? But the devil will want to bring things and have you go to the past to bring guilt, condemnation, fear, mistrust, and you name it. Go to chapter 3. In verse 1. And I, brethren, could not speak to you as spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you are not able to receive it, and even now you are still not able, for you are still carnal. For where there are envy, strife, and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? Wow. Guess what? Devil snagged you. Why? Attacked you in the flesh in the present and in the soul in the past. Why? Because if there's divisions and so forth, the problem because of that is because not denying, not picking up the cross and not following. Not denying, not picking up the cross and not following. You know, some people can't be bold because of fears of their past. Some of these things in their past have brought strongholds in their life, haven't they? But they must be brought to light, or that stronghold is still going to stay there. Some people are still angry with their certain people, unforgiving. Those are strongholds. And they're having a hard time with them. Because the devil keeps bringing them to those back things and won't forgive. Now, don't get me wrong. Simple thing is bringing it to light and forgiving, isn't it? It doesn't mean that you have to trust. People have to earn trust. Just like when friends get together, who one was a drug addict and one was clean and a person ripped them off. Or husband and wives get together, or so forth, boyfriend and girlfriend get together, and they're planning for a future and whatever. Man, things got to be earned then. You know, there's got to be a trust earned, isn't there? And sometimes the trust is already earned when things come up and it's already done with. And it's real simple to just go on. But if we're not denying ourselves and picking up the cross and following, it doesn't work. That's the formula for victory in Christ. Hallelujah. Let's go to Exodus 16. Exodus chapter 16. Glory to God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. You know, and the devil will want to do this. Hey, man, you're supposed to forgive me. Yes, I do forgive you. Yeah, well, then you should let me do this and let me do that and let me do this. No way. You got to earn that. I forgave you, but I didn't forget. I ain't stupid. Hello? So we got to earn trust again. My wife, when her and I got together, she wasn't about to just give me the keys and say, go ahead and do what you got to do, honey. Hello? Come on, I was a maniac out there. I had to earn her trust. Does everybody get it? I had to earn her trust. People have to earn people's trust. Doesn't mean they don't forgive you. Hello? Exodus 16. Whoa. Moses had to go through a lot of stuff, man, let me tell you. Shoot. We're going to talk a little bit about Moses here. Now, it says in verse 2, then the whole congregation of the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. Oh, yeah. How many of y'all are still in the wilderness complaining? And the children of Israel said to them, oh, that we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt. They weren't going to die by the hand of the Lord in Egypt. They're going to die by the hand of the devil. when we sat by the pots of meat, when we ate bread to the full. For you have brought us out into the wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. Man, what a complaint. Oh, how many times you want to go back to your past just to get something to eat. Oh, I remember when. I remember when I was eating that luscious food. The food was of the devil. Who was feeding them? The devil. They were willing to go back to the bondages of Satan to fulfill their flesh. Isn't that something? In verse 4, then the Lord said to Moses, behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain quota every day, that I may what? Test them, whether they will walk in my law or not. Whoa. So God was testing them, wasn't he? And it shall be on the sixth day that they shall prepare what they bring in, and it shall be twice as much as they gather daily. Then Moses and Aaron said to all the children of Israel, at evening you shall know that the Lord has brought you out of the land of Egypt, and in the morning you shall see the glory of the Lord, for he hears your complaints against the Lord. In other words, he hears your complaints. Even though you're mumbling and grumbling, he hears it.
Amen.
But what are we that we complain against, that you complain against us? Also Moses said, this shall be seen when the Lord gives you meat to eat in the evening, and in the morning bread to the full. For the Lord hears your complaints, which you have made against him. And what are we? Your complaints are not against us, but against the Lord.
Amen.
Ooh. So when you're complaining about the pastor or about the elders of the church, you're not complaining about them. You're coming against God. Yeah, well, things just don't... I just don't understand this. Why? Hello. Put your complaint in the complaint box. It's called the garbage. Hello. But, me, how. Die.
Amen.
Die, pick up, and follow. Because you're not complaining against man. You're complaining against God who's ordained what has to happen in your life. Or you'll get snagged in God's waiting room. When you complain against God, you know why they're brought on? Because people are going, the devil's bringing them to their past. And God is saying, don't look back. You know, I remember when I used to make a gazillion dollars an hour. Wow. Who lied to you? Well, I thought I had that job. The devil snagged you. I remember when. Go to chapter 17. In verse 2. Therefore the people contended with Moses and said, give us water. Oh man, here they come again. That we may drink. So Moses said to them, why do you contend with me? Why do you tempt the Lord? Man, we lose so much sight of that, you know that? When we come against the offices of God, they tempt God. And the people thirsted there for water. And the people complained against Moses and said, why is it you have brought us up out of Egypt? Now they're blaming Moses, right? And they saw all these miracles. They saw the Red Sea part, the fire protecting them. And now they're blaming Moses. Why have you brought us out here? Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our livestock with thirst? They just complained that they didn't have anything to eat. Now they're complaining of thirst. So Moses cried out to the Lord saying, what shall I do with this people? They are almost ready to stone me. And the Lord said to Moses, go on before the people. Take with you some of the elders of Israel, and also take in your hand your rod with which you struck the river and go. Behold, I will stand before you there on the rock of Horeb, and you shall strike the rock, and the water will come out of it, that the people may drink. And Moses did so in the sight of all the elders of Israel. Hallelujah. Now, who is the rock that was struck for me and you?
Jesus.
So do you understand when you complain, you're coming against him? Okay. Going to the past to drink, willing to go back under the rule of Satan to fulfill the flesh again. Genesis 19. Praise be to God. Genesis chapter 19, verse 15. Hallelujah. Now you know that Lot was in Sodom, and because he was a nephew of Abraham, and because of Abraham's righteousness, God was sending his angels to get Lot out of Sodom because he was getting ready to destroy them. And when morning dawned, in verse 15, the angels urged Lot to hurry, saying, "Arise, take your wife and your two daughters who are here, lest you be consumed in the punishment of the city." And while he lingered, the men took hold of his hand. In other words, Lot was still trying to gather things and whatever. And they said, "Come on, man, don't you get it? Let the past be gone." And they grabbed his hands and his wife's hands and the hands of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful to him. And they brought him out and set him outside the city. And so it came to pass when they had brought them outside that he said, "Escape for your life. Do not look behind you." Everybody say, "Do not look behind you." Do not look behind you. "Nor stay anywhere in the plain. Escape to the mountains, lest you be destroyed." Then Lot said to them, "Please, no, my lords. Indeed, now your servant has found favor in your sight, and you have increased your mercy, which you have shown me by saving my life. But I cannot escape to the mountains, lest some evil overtake me and I die. See, now the city is near enough to flee to, and it is a little one. Please let me escape there. Is it not a little one? And my soul shall live." And he said to him, "See, I have found favored you concerning this thing also, and that I will not overthrow the city for which you have spoken. Hurry, escape there, for I cannot do anything until you arrive there." Therefore the name of the city was called Zoar. The sun has risen upon the earth when Lot entered Zoar. Then the Lord rained brimstone and fire on Sodom and Gomorrah from the Lord out, and he poured it out from heavens. So he overthrew the cities, all the plain, all the inhabitants of the cities, and what grew on the ground. But his wife looked back behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. Whoa. Now, God always makes a way of escape for me and you. Does everybody get it? He's always making a way of escape. The thing is, when he does, we can't look back. You can't look back at your losses. Does everybody understand that? You can't look back because by looking back hardens your heart. And rebellion towards God will manifest. Lot's wife looked back, and it killed her. She wouldn't let go. When you can't let go, you can't produce godly fruit. That means you're still trusting in you and not God. Is everybody with me? And you know what happens? We become stiff-necked, rebellious, and religion. We come back under the law because we justify by what we're doing. We're not doing this anymore. We're not doing that anymore. We're okay. Amen? So we don't want to trust in ourselves, do we? We want to deny ourselves and trust in the Lord. Go to Jeremiah 17. Hallelujah. Jeremiah 17. Some of us are waiting on God, but let me tell you something. God is waiting on you to deny, pick up, and follow. When you do that, He'll bring to pass what is right for you, not what you think is right for you. Jeremiah 17. Hallelujah. In verse 5, let's read this together. Is everybody there? Amen. Thus says the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in man. In other words, cursed is the man who trusts in himself.
Amen.
And makes what? Flesh his strength, whose heart departs from the Lord. So that means the person was walking with the Lord. Can't depart from the Lord unless he was walking with the Lord. For he shall be like a shrub in the desert and shall not see when good comes. Let me tell you something. If the devil can bring you to your past, hello, you will miss what God is trying to do to you or do for you right now. You'll miss it. It tells us right here, shall not see when good comes. Right? But shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness in the salt land which is not inhabited. Curses that man who trusts in himself. Now you think the devil knows the scripture? Mm-hmm. Amen. So you think he'd want to bring you to your past? Mm-hmm. Or you think he'd want to attack you in your flesh in the present? So you can go to your own strength and you can become accursed? But look at verse 7 says, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose hope is the Lord, for he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots by the river, and will not fear when heat comes. But its leaf will be green, and will not be anxious in the year of drought. In other words, he won't move ahead of God, because he'll deny himself. Nor will cease from yielding fruit. Whoa! Because now you're producing godly fruit, not ungodly fruit. Now, there are times that your knowledge, again, I got to say this, your knowledge and my knowledge is not going to rescue us. Only relationship will. And the Bible says in verse 9 that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart, and I test the mind, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings. Hallelujah. Deny, pick up, and what?
Follow.
Praise be to God. Let's go to 1 Kings 19. Praise be to my daddy. First Kings 19. Hallelujah. And verse 15. Then the Lord said to him, who is Elijah, go return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus, and when you arrive, anoint Hazael as king over Syria. Also you shall anoint Jehu, the son of Nashiah, as king over Israel. And Elijah, the son of Shaphat, of Abel Meholah, you shall anoint as prophet in your place. It shall be that whoever escapes the sword of Hazael, Jehu will kill. And whoever escapes the sword of Jehu, Elijah will kill. Yet I have reserved 7,000 in Israel, all whose knees have not bowed to Baal, and every mouth that has not kissed him. So he departed from there and found Elijah, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing. Remember we said putting your hand to the plow? He was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him, and he was with the 12. Then Elijah passed by him and threw his mantle on him. He was called. And he left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, "Please let me kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow you." Whoa. Now you got to remember something. Elijah was well known as the man of God at that period of time. When Elijah went by Elijah and threw his mantle on him, he knew what was going on. He was being called. But he ran to him and said, "Look, let me kiss my mommy and daddy goodbye." And Elijah said to him, "Go back again, for what have I done to you?" Do you know that Jesus says that? Every time you and I want to go back, he says, "What have I done to you? Did I not do it all for you? What have I done to you?" You know how many times people are caught up in the soul ties? People we work with? People we've associated with, old friends? Sometimes we know that they're not right, and they're not doing the wrong things, perverse mouth and whatever, and we're pleasing that individual instead of severing ourselves from them. Amen? Well, I have to just put up with it because he works with me. You know, there's a time when you're going to have to say something. Because you're going to have to get bold for Christ. There will be a time when you're going to have to say something. Sooner the better sometimes. Hallelujah. So what did he say? "Go back again, for what have I done to you?" In verse 21, "So Elijah turned back from him and took a yoke of oxen and slaughtered them and boiled their flesh using oxen's equipment and gave it to the people, and they ate. And then he arose and followed Elijah, and he became his servant." What did he do? He took what he was using as tools for work, burned it, used the animal, sacrificed it, blessed the people, didn't go back to say goodbye to mom and dad, and went and followed Elijah and became his servant. What did he do? Denied, picked up, and followed. That's exactly what Elijah did. And look at the double anointing that was on his life. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Hallelujah. You know, even in ministry, and we minister at the jail, and when people become rebellious, I do my best to not get in the flesh. I got to call on the name of the Lord to give me strength, man. Because one thing I hate, which really irritates me, is somebody who doesn't acknowledge the presence of God and fools around and brings division while people are worshiping God. That is so dishonor to God and dishonor in His presence. And then when something's being done and spoken and being taught by the Spirit and they're up communicating with other people and just disrupting them, and I asked this one guy to be quiet. And he just, "I ain't being quiet, this and that, whatever." I said, "Officer, throw this man out." And he threw him out. And I tell those guys, "Man, I ain't taking no garbage from no demons. You don't want to get rid of the demon? Then you go with him." Hello. You either want to get rid of them, or you can go with them. Praise be to God. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 14. Is everybody there? 5:14, yes. Let's read this together. "For the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. So you got to understand something. When you're working, you're laboring unto God.
Amen.
Verse 16. There from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in the Spirit, if anyone is in Christ, same thing. Hello? If anyone is willing to deny, pick up, and follow, he is a new creation. The moment you stop to deny, pick up, and follow, your new creation growth stops. Stops. In fact, what happens is the old man begins to creep up. See, you can't outrun the old man. You have to take dominion over him. So if you're not denying yourself, you're exalting him. And that's the seed of the serpent. Let's go a little further. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Wow. You know why? Because there's that continuance of denying self. Right? Let's go on. Now, all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you, on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God, for he has made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Glory to God. Hebrews 3. Hallelujah. Then one more scripture. Hebrews chapter 3. Now, did you notice that it says that we who are in Christ, not were in Christ.
Amen.
You got it? We who are in Christ, not were in Christ. We who are in the Spirit, not were in the Spirit. Glory to God. Oh, Jesus, you're so good to us. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 7. Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, would you read this with me? Today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in rebellion. In a day of trial in the wilderness, where your fathers tested me, tried me, and saw my works for 40 years. Therefore I was angry with that generation and said, they will always go astray in their heart, and they have not known my ways. And what was the way? Deny, pick up, and follow. So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. See, there is rest in denying, picking up, and following. Come on. Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief and departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold on the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. If we hold on, do you understand that? While it is said today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in a day in rebellion. That's powerful. For who, having heard, rebelled? Indeed, was it not all who came out of Egypt, led by Moses? Now, with whom was he angry 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose corpses fell in the wilderness? And to whom did he swear that they would not enter his rest, but to those who did not obey? So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. Wow. See, the reason why we cannot deny ourselves is because we don't believe. Hello? Because you believe in someone you trust, don't you? So that means the devil has brought the snare of past. Had you look back. He starts bringing us back. Oh man, I remember when I worked this hard and I got a gazillion dollars an hour. And I remember this. And I, you know what? God is saying, you're starting over. And if you, because you never denied yourself. And if you want to follow me, you better deny, pick up, and follow. Because you're being tested by God. And you're laboring for God, not for you anymore. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Philippians 3. Jesus says, here's the question. Will you die for me? Woo! Will you die for me? He died for you. Now, will you die for him? And the thing is there's glory in dying to self. What he's got for me and you is so much better if we'll just die quickly. In verse 7, Philippians 3, verse 7. Would you read this with me, please? Come on, we're going to end with this. But what things were gained to me, these I have counted lost for Christ. Oh, hallelujah. And verse 8, yet indeed I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, from whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish that I may gain Christ. In other words, that Christ may be formed in him and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know him in the power of his resurrection and fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind. And if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us be of the same mind. Brethren, join in following my example, and note those who walk as you have us for a pattern. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is their shame, who set their mind on earthly things. Oh, what's he talking about? Jobs, money, family, everything but him. Verse 20, for our citizenship is in the heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body, that it may be conformed to his glorious body, according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself. Praise be to God. So as you and I bring our things under the light, revealing the darkness and covering and revealing the darkness so that light is shining in those places, God now has control of it. It's under the blood. So when the devil brings you to your past, you bring him to his future. And you continue to deny, pick up, and follow. Hallelujah. Lord, we thank you for your word. And Lord, we plead the blood of Jesus on this seed. We ask that you allow it to grow and bear fruit for your glory. Keep us in denying, picking up, to follow you, that we may walk in the way, establish the truth, and receive eternal life. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, Amen. Amen.